sharpening swords of brass, which push their way through unresponsive paths of silent earth. How can I see creation in such mood and not feel God and see Him very near? I wonder at the mystery of life, and as I see a helpless little babe with hands upon the circle of the bread, and mouth pressed close, for this is very life. More eloquent no sermon there could be. God comes and stands close by my very side, and something of this mystery I see. You know, it's in a little babe's pressing hands, or didn't you know? The urge to live, that hidden strange mystery. The urge to live. Who ever told a little baby to do that? How many know? I never know. How many know those little hands there? I call it the circle of the breast. How many know? Even a kitten knows it. Oh, that's sweet to me. I see God in all of that business. That old comfortable mother and all these little pumping away. Oh, I think it's beautiful. It just thrills me. More in some sermons I've heard. It's thrilling me and gets me into the things of God quicker than some sermons that I've heard. I want to say, for heaven's sake, sit down, brother. I'm dying. Get out of here. But I can't. I have to sit here. Praise the Lord. Don't you see that God is in that? Yes. Now, wait. I want to tuck in there, but I tempted to, but I don't want to either. But you know, while his hands are still upon the circle of that breast, and it is being fed, and it is perfect, it's getting its nutrition God's fashion. Mother had four children. I never saw a nursing bottle until I was 20 years old. We were brought up in the old-fashioned way. When that happens, how many of you know, we all know, does that baby have the slightest idea of who he is or where it is or what it's about? Not at all. Now, there are Christians who are yet with their hands pressing upon the breast for the sincere milk of the Word. It's right. And he says it'll be beginning. How many know he's true? It's Bible. I've seen people in spirit pressing their hands on the pastor or on the Bible teacher's life. What? Pressing. What? For the sincere milk of the Word. He has no consciousness of anything more in diet than that. But God says, dear, there's a weaning time. A weaning time. And so the mother says, now, dear, you've nursed long enough. Now you're going to be weaned. And you're going to learn to take food so-and-so from silver spoon grandma gave you as your initial. See? And you and the little baby, and the baby said, wonderful. And how many mothers know how you it just screeches and paws and claws and fights with you? It will have the rest. And the mother, how wonderful. She just says, no, dear. Oh, no. Don't. Now, do you know how she does this? It's a bar. She detaches the sense of attraction from this to another field. It's good psychology. It lets her become interested in thus and so. Is that a good technique? That, and I want to do that too. So no more. But I got blessed, oh Lord. I was getting it. Oh, my God, he's just nursing baby. He says, no, you can't stand that. You don't grow on a milk diet. You bring a certain stage of maturity, but you can't build muscles and bones and live. He says, you can't have meat. the mother weans the baby. Now that's a difficult period, and your mother knows that. Isn't that so? You've got baby sand to do. And isn't it a difficult period to teach them detachment and a correct new interest? Detachment. A correct new interest. Still feeding. But not that old technique, not that old method. Not a milk bottle. But a new process. Do you know what happens? Well, by and by, it has to eat some meat. It hasn't any teeth. Lo and behold, he didn't have us all born with sets of teeth. I had a great uncle who was born with his lower teeth. I had a great, great uncle. And when he was born, all his little teeth were in. He was depressed. Few yards ahead of the game. No. And so, you'll have to come to a place of teething. Isn't that right? Teething? What are you doing? You're cutting your teeth. What? Make me uncomfortable and unhappy. No. Getting you ready for some meat. When you get the meat, you'll just love it and you'll forget all about your teeth. How do you remember when you were teething? How many men you went through process? The disagreeable aspect will fade, but that for which it was intended remains. I got these teeth now. They're all my teeth. And I had to fight teething time getting them to cut their life partners' teeth. And didn't that hurt me a long time? I've always been conscious of this setup that I had. I didn't make it. Mother had some friends in to call. Superintendent, the son's wife, had just moved, and their little boy came along to listen too. And so mother sat here with me, and I was over here, and the little boy sat there with his mother, and we were all strangers. All of a sudden, he says, "Mama, he's got horses today." Oh, can you imagine a little boy like this? Well, it struck me. He was so amused at the set of teeth I had. These were, I cut them like this. And I had them with a set of teeth like this. I mean, you know, your teeth don't grow. They just come in there and they are. 5 years old with a set of paralysis. I was like, no wonder. Says, "Mama, he has horses today." And of course, mother was embarrassed, and so was I. I was scared. I thought, oh, he had horses. I thought, well, I said, "We don't got horses." But how very amusing sometimes and funny. So I had time cutting my teeth. But they lasted me a prisoner 80 years, 78 and a half, will be 79, not swimming down with this too blind. Well, now we can get at this. It's a very disagreeable period, but it's very necessary. Very necessary. Why? To masticate your meat and the strong meat. I had to learn so I could chew the meat properly. Is that in the Christian's experience? How many know it is? How many know a good reverence for it? A good reverence right now, come on. A good reverence for it. What about the bride of Christ? In the Song of Solomon, where he describes her from the lock to her feet and all. And she had teeth, you remember them? All clean, like sheep coming up from their washing in pairs. In pairs, and not one missing. Well, why? She has to know something beside manna, dear. You can eat manna without teeth. Because it was so soft, it was just delightful. How many get some? I get some ready.
Yeah.
Well, don't be afraid of your teething period. Some come to me and don't know what's the matter with them. I give them a little analysis and pray a little bit along with them. Now don't be scared. You're teething. Teething? Why, have you grown out there? I know, but not spiritually. You're a bathing Christ. He's bringing a transition in your experience. From a field where you eat and drink the sincere milk of the Word with your hands so comfortably upon the breast of the mother. That's the comfort you have in the presence of God pumping. How many know He's the best of God?
Yes.
He is. Look at all the answers. Oh, I got scripture, everything I've talking about. Don't worry. I can tell everything about it. It's all in there. How many know He's the best of God? But He says, take your hands down. I'm going to bring you over here. And then He sets us in a brand new experience so that we can eat. And so that's why I wove that one little sentence in here. What is it? A revelation of God to me when I see a little babe with his hands pressed upon the circle of the breast of that mother. That's where my hands have been pressed, on the breast of God, for my first nourishment, to give me my first impetus, my first moving into the things of God. But then I had to be weaned.
So do you.
So you see, isn't it nice when God can talk to you looking at a baby? And you say, how do you think a baby is a dirty little thing? First thing somebody says, smelly, dirty. I know that. Can't you see anything or smell anything on your hands besides that? Well, you won't get far with God knowing how to see and not to see. And as I see a helpless little babe with hands upon the circle of the breast and mouth pressed close, for this is very life, and of course it is, more eloquent no sermon e'er could be. Now change this. I single leaf all ripe and falling from the tree now finds a quiet resting place in earth. How many see it's completing its cycle? How many get its cycle? How many know that leaf was in the ground? It had come up through a strange process and came out to be a leaf. How many know all nature is a complete cycle? Everything we have moves in cycles. Everything we have is in cycles. We don't always just hear it. Now find a quiet resting place in earth where it belongs. My heart is hushed. My spirit bowed to God. For lo, I find Him even here to show in simple form the ministry of death. Did we die? That's resurrection and come forth again. That's your cycle. That's your cycle. Your faith. Sometimes He comes in such a delightful mood. I saw Him smile in dash of silver wings against an azure sky one day in June. And often when I'm worn and tired in mind, I feel Him move like music in the trees. I see Him in the shadows of the clouds against the distant hills and o'er the fields. And when I view the wonders spread abroad, the rugged heights and painted chasms deep, the crashing waterfalls and the deserts calm, it is not these alone that I behold. My God is very near, present in the scheme, and silently, in awe and reverence, my soul bows down in worship at His feet. He does not speak in words for outer ears. His presence is too subtle for my eyes. It is with heart I ever feel Him near and trace with inner sense His fleeting form. His revelation seeks a thousand ways, articulate and clear to outer sense. But deeper is the vision that I see when unannounced He comes to me and meets me in such sweet, informal ways. Do you like that?
Yeah.
How do you get the move on? Sweet, informal ways We didn't have an opening hymn for it. In for. But in tune. I'll read one more, then I'll talk to you about something else. I want to read you this. We've been talking a great deal about the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamic for the building of our Christian life. We know that. It is the power, it is the means by which this structure, this new creation is built. It cannot come forth, it cannot be built under any of the mechanics of the human. Its philosophy, its creed, its technique, it cannot come that way. It has to come through the meaning of the Holy Spirit using natural things. You have to use a lot of material things. We use the educational processes, but it doesn't work until what? The Spirit of God moving through that in its vibration and power, then it touches, then it ministers. And so, this eternal urge, this tremendous breath of God, that I've written two poems about, because I'm so conscious of the Spirit, and so it's so a part of where I'm living that I can't get free from it. It holds me, it fascinates me. I have another one, I think, called The Breath of God. Is it there? Oh, breath of God, that's the Holy Spirit. I cannot live apart from me. You're the very essence of my life and being all the way through. So this time, I got a glimpse of it, that this eternal urge is the Spirit, or the breath of God. Now, in your Hebrew, the word Spirit is ruach, guttural, and it means breath or outbreathing. Ruach, outbreathing. How many of that's like expelling the life, you get the breath. Now there's where you get your the real meaning of your word in your Hebrew is ruach. It's the outbreathing of God. But what is your breath, the Shemite? What is the Holy Spirit? It's the very life of God. It's God's, the Spirit of life, the Spirit that characterizes God is the Holy Spirit. Where did it come from? It's a part of God, it's always been. He is a part of the Trinity. Does he begin to show himself when the world is here and we're here? No, it was through him that the world was created. Everything that is manifest, because he is the agent. God the Father, we call causation. All three are in it. The Son executes, but it's all God in it. The Holy Spirit brings to its completion the whole design that God wants. That's why you can't get anywhere in the world, in your living, or in the movings of God without your Trinity continually moving. God the Father, that's causation. All things were planned in him. Jesus executes the will. Expedient that I go away, the Holy Spirit will now come and take up the things which I have left you. He will not originate a thing of himself, but he will take that which I have brought and bring it through to its completion, to its time, to its ending. So I thought, well, how far back has this marvelous breath of God been moving? Well, our breath is reported to us through what we call our pulses. We hold our pulse, don't we feel our pulse to see if there's any more breath left, right? Pulse. If you stop breathing, how do you know your pulse wouldn't work? No, it's indicative. This is indicative of what's going on here. It reports here. So I said, I see how that goes. Eternal urge. This is this eternal of God. Eternal urge. Strange pulse beat of my God. I welcome every throb and mystic stir. The long, deep silences which veil past have known thee well and trembled to strange joy. as in majestic move you pass them by, on, on, and ever upward in thy reach I trace thee in thy tireless, endless ways the vast expanses of this universe. They respond and vibrate as you move through them. All nature, inarticulate and bound, thrills at thy touch and reaches out her arms, mute prayers, but eloquent in faith, sublime. All nature, your groans won't be in vain. They'll never be in vain. All nature reaching out her helpless arms, they are mute prayers. They are prayers. They are prayers. They're bringing through. The groan of their prayer is bringing redemption. All of nature, inarticulate and bound, thrills at thy touch and reaches out her arms, mute prayers, but eloquent in faith, sublime. Thy holy breath has quickened me to life. I joy to feel thee move upon my house, this tenement of clay in which I live. I joy to share thy life, which makes me know I am a part of this great cosmic whole. But deeper rests the ecstasy divine, that burning in the inner sacred shrine, a fire of God, fanned by his eternal breath, illuminates my spirit, and I see. A miracle has come to grace my life. A threefold consciousness. Now, this is your Trinity. A threefold consciousness is what God has arranged. A threefold consciousness. I want to talk, I want to pray, I want to move in God, I can't just now. Excuse me. A miracle has come to grace my life. A threefold consciousness, that my entity is made into a trinity, completes my grasp. All that combine to make me who I am is turned into a hunger infinite. Do you get it? If you have found that you are turned into an infinite hunger for reality and God, you have gone too far. You don't want to see what we should have done. All that combines to make me who I am is turned into a hunger infinite. My being is a thirsty desert lone. Though nameless incompletion haunts me here. Isn't it terrible when we sense the incompletion of the whole? How do you get the groan of nature in your heart? How will you sigh with the spirit? How will you pray with God? That terrible inner consciousness of incompletion. The whole pattern has not come through. Redemption has paid a price. But how many of you see what I mean? We grow for that completion. Well, it's coming. Keep groaning, dear. Sometimes it's terrible. But there's an answer to the groan. There's an answer to it. My being, all that I am, is turned into a desert lone. though nameless, I couldn't name it, though nameless, incompletion haunts me here. God feeds me with immortal bread and wine. A fount of living water pours within. Strange paradox that life should thus be lived. Eternal urge, sweet token of God's faith, though infinite thy path, thy end is sure. Completion and perfection of his thought shall yet be known in every phase of life. A faith triumphant like a holy drive, sublimely moves and carries all to God. I too, although so small an item here, caught up and placed within this mighty plan, can now partake of life and light in him. And though the yearning for the perfect whole is turned into a groaning deep and dumb, a song triumphant is its sequel sure. A new creation now I find myself in process of becoming God's ideal. Eternal urge, mighty breath of God, move on in floods of endless life. So let it be. So let it be. Nero non gedevi visage genamo fanti colatizza. I'm with thee. I will guide thee. I will carry thee. The end is not yet. Bond like a gibuha, the sinirta, the nisha de di volti de rabutanze. No, no. Trials and discipline. Trials and discipline. Tu ringer of croc finisce rita. But fear not, fear not, fear not. So, in a pace, se di monta. No, I am with thee. My arm is strong. My sight is sure. Come. Surrender to me. Yield to me. Tumbe sabito. Live in me. There is no life in me. I think of me. You have to be full of fatigue. The eternal breath of God, the eternal urge, fear not. That urge is within the innermost part of your being. He longs to possess and to hold sway, to dominate, to lead, to control, to comfort. Yield to this eternal urge. He is a wickedness in your heart. Fear not, for he is hand, and you shall die. Fear not, fear not, fear not. It is the eternal urge of God. He has awakened something new, fear in you.
Glory to be so great. Now the book of it seems eternal, everlasting, holy, wonder. You will come to us. We welcome every touch upon our poor broken hearts. We welcome every breath that you're pleased to breathe. Our hearts are sore. They're hungry. They're broken, Lord. Nothing can mend them. No. They're broken, Lord. We can't mend them. We can't mend them. We can't mend them, Lord. Thou art the answer, glorious living Christ. Triumphant, victorious Christ. Thou glorious Son of God. All glory and praise, majesty, everlasting song be unto thee, for thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Our little hearts, catch them up with thee, Lord. Let them find some tangled place within this to move back again to thine heart. Move back again to thy heart. Gathers up the fresh, Lord. We've been talking these days about the things of God. Our heart hungers with thy heart to see fruitage from it, that life shall be changed and reorganized, revolutionized, a fresh new orientation in hearts and minds. Because of thy truth. Thy truth. You don't come to harm us. You come to bless us. Take care of all this work that has to be done. Dismantling, carrying down, throwing aside, revealing, unearthing. Be with us. Be with us. Our hearts are very faint without thee. Hold us while you do these mighty, mighty, mighty things in the hearts of broken humanity. Blessed Spirit, eternal urge, breath of God, sustain us. In us dwelleth no good thing, but with thee all things are possible. You don't set before us some ideal of joy to mock us. You put it as an incentive to draw us. Draw us, and we will run after thee. Put speed into some lives, Lord. Some are so lazy. Put speed into some. Arouse them to an inner consciousness of reality. Take us from our nursing bottles, the breast of God which is so wonderful. And if you dare, give us some meat. And give us strong meat that we may grow. And someday thou wilt have a body, a group of people who have passed through, paid their prices, sacrificed, lost out, been wrecked. That you will have instruments in whom you may be glorified, in whom you will take pleasure. That's all we want to give thee, Lord. We have many works to offer. We have our little broken minds. Our broken hearts, our disappointed hearts, we bring them to thee. whom you may be glorified, in whom you will take pleasure. That's all we want to give thee, Lord. We have many works to offer. We have our little broken lives, our broken hearts, our disappointed hearts. We bring them to thee. If you have to disappoint us to bring us, then we accept the disappointment. If you have to disappoint us, we accept the disappointment. If you have to disappoint us, we accept the disappointment. It will be an agency in thy hand. It will be a salvation. It will be a salvation. It will save us from a ruin and another greater disappointment. Help us to accept our disappointment. Help us to accept them, lovely, precious, holy ones. And let thy love soothe our hearts. Soothe them. They're sore. They're tried. They're so sore at times. Soothe us with the love of God. Nourish us with this word of life. Feed us continually from thy hand. Help us to walk carefully with thee. Carefully, Lord, carefully. Don't let our own understandings hinder. Help us to accept thee, thy purposes, thy plans, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, excuse us, I'll stand downstairs. I want to speak to you. I am giving you a message of the Holy Spirit. How we got somewhere. I don't want me to talk like this. It wasn't planned at all that this came along, but it must be for some. A present disappointment will save you from a greater disappointment. That's strange, isn't it? Accept your disappointment in God, the love of God. That lovely marvelous thing called the love of God will be your sustaining portion. That will carry you. That will carry you. I suppose it's time to go. I don't know. I get all mixed up. I can't tell where I am or what it's all about. But are you sure you received something this morning? Let it be to your heart. I've just been reading that song. How many of you know now when you read these things, just love things back? They aren't words here. No, they are just a combination. I couldn't write that. Did you know how this came, this eternal urge? Well, it was so on me. And I was in a convention in Chicago, a missionary convention. And I had to be on the platform. I was with people speaking. And all the time I was speaking, I was no more there than a man in the moon. I was out of this power, this eternal urge. And I went back to the missionary home, Chicago. And I would eat my lunch quickly. And I'd go up and I would just pour out maybe 4, 5, or 6 lines like that. And I said, oh Lord, if I could only be away from all this meeting business and funny folks and everything and get somewhere. But I couldn't. I had to just lay it all down, put on my mask of, yes, praise the Lord. And I said, failure, that nearly kills me. But I went through it and went back home. And when you finish it, but that's how that thing came. You see how they come? You don't sit down to write something. You don't sit down to write something. You sit down to release something. You release it. You release it. May I read one more? It isn't quite time. To show you what I mean by this moving in our spirit. Now, this is one. It isn't in my book either. I have enough now of poems to get out another book. If anybody doesn't know what to pray about, say, Lord, for mercy's sake, get to let go on this and help him with it. Because it takes time. I can't be out on the field preaching and teaching and helping people and writing a book and then getting out a book of verse. Now they want my song to put in shape. Play again. I want to read you this Sacrament of the Hills. How many of you have been to New England? Have you been there in the fall? Well, if you have, you're quite near heaven. Because I don't know of anything more marvelous than the coloring that we have in New England in the fall. We have New York too, but you push back against the hills, and the coloring is just out of this world. It's tremendous. And of course, I just go wild. I don't know where I live. I can't help it. I'm just lost with it. And those people who know me, they let me go on. I say, well, God bless you. So I got to hold a meeting. I was up at Proctor, Vermont. And the autumn, its first lovely coloring splash had more or less faded. And the coloring was coming into what I call the subdued, harmonious coloring, rather than your coloring of loud, flashy splashes. Now, in color, I'll give you a little point now. I'm an artist, and I paint, and I don't know what this is. Let me help you with it. There is a law in the arrangement of color that reacts in us in a sense of beauty. The law of contrast and the law of harmony in color. Now, much beauty is given to us because the colors are in direct opposition or in a contrast or even in an arrangement. But it's a law of contrast. Now, another time, your beauty will come to you because you may only have one color note but varied in four varieties of shadings and colors, and that's what we call a harmonious. It is a color in its harmonious scale, chromatic scale, we call it. How do they make music? It's chromatic. Well, that's where I see color. I enjoy the spectacular flashes which always come first, our flaming swamp maple, which is a brilliant, beautiful, original swamp maple. And then the lovely golden maples that go with it, and then the sturdy oaks, and of course all the rest of them. And the ash tree, which is always in lavender. She's rather peculiar in her choice. How do you like the white birches? You know what they are? They are like maidens, sweet 16. How do you know they don't have a strong, robust parent? How do you know a lovely white birch, how do you know, it's too delicate. It couldn't be a sturdy oak. I always think they're a ballet dancer. I always see them on one toe. I always do. That's the way I see them. I see them that way. Is it wicked to see them that way? God sees them too, so. No, that lovely white birch. To me, they're sweet 16. And I see them as a ballet dancer. Oh, it's a white birch. I couldn't see that in an oak. He's a warrior. He meets all the blasts. And his arms are gnarled with muscles. Isn't he? Well, the personality of the trees, don't you worry. I know how they talk, too. Do you know in the fall, early winter, you can blindfold me and take me out in the woods, put me on your tree. You can do it. I'm under a pine tree. Move me around. The wind is blowing. I'm under a white oak tree. You take me out. You know how I do that? There's something in the sound of the wind in those trees that is just as different as the notes on the scale. I know the sound of the wind in at least 5 different trees, but I'm divine for you. How many of those kind of fun? I have a lot of fun. It isn't necessarily religious, but how many of it is after all, too? Because you're in key. So when it comes to these trees, they are all different in personality, every one of them. And in the fall, I like that early first splash because I enjoy the beauty of the color through a law of contrast. You have your deep, heavy pine trees, your background. And then up coming up here, splashes of the yellow and the scarlet and all those marvelous colors just splash, interspersed with the ballet dancer every while she comes in like that. How many of you know how they do in New England? And those lovely white, while we go home this week in New England. Yeah, well, that was fine. And I enjoyed it. You know, as I got older, I began to sense another sense of beauty. When most of the brilliancy had faded, I didn't find I was enjoying them from a law of contrast, but from a subtle law of harmony. Harmony. The colors began to do what? They didn't seem to be in contrast. They seemed to fade into a grand union, a strange mystical pattern. The gray went into a green, and the green into an old rose, and the old rose into a tan. Oh, you know what I mean. And every bit of that creation gave itself to it. Certain oak trees, when they fade, how many of you know they are a perfect old rose? Absolutely. A perfect old rose. They're not brilliant, but it's a type. They are old rose. How many of you know a sumac when it comes with its torch of fire? The brilliant red that they are, all those fingers like that, you see them for acres, you know, just brilliant. Well, I went to my friend who was entertaining me upstairs. I said, Paulette, would you like to take a ride this afternoon? It's Sunday afternoon. But would you like to go for a ride? And I said, well, why wouldn't I ride on Sunday like Monday? But he was kind of tired. He thought maybe I had religious scruples that I should just preach and fast and hold hands literally all day Sunday while I had to be paralyzed. I said, would you take a ride? I said, I'd take anything where God is. I said, if he's big enough to make that, I'm going to be one of his children to look at. So I said, sure, we go for a ride. Well, people sometimes, you know, go out for a Sunday ride. Well, I said, oh, are you a Jew in your Holy Sabbath? Can't you wiggle? I said, well, sure, I'll go for a ride. Then he became apologetic. He said, you know, now these hills a few weeks ago were so beautiful. They were so brilliant. They were so brilliant. They were so lovely in their color. It was so pronounced. The maples and the ash and so on. He was just a... And I was just having a feast because they had faded. All that brilliancy had died out. And it was the most marvelous harmonic scale in color that you ever want to see. It was, to me, just fascinating because I was enjoying it from a sense of harmony and not contrast. I watched certain bits of them. How many of you know sometimes the fading grass will move into a stone wall and carry its color scheme right through? Why, certainly, if you're an artist, you'd see that right away. Certainly. That grass has to be that color to make your scheme right. Well, grass is green. No, it isn't. You think it's green. Sometimes it's gray. And so I was just having such a feast. And we came to, this makes me think of it, a sort of a canyon where there was a gorge. A kind of a canyon and a gorge. And here in that gorge was a sort of a pocket of brilliant, brilliant, brilliant sumac, just red. And it had been creeping its way down through the mountain, while all the rest of it was in this marvelous harmonic scheme. This, here it stood. And I kept looking at them. I said, that's right. This is Communion Sunday.
you say you poor nut. Nirvana is not dear. I just love things. That's all. I love you for listening to me. Thank you so much. A lot of people think I'm off the beam. You don't think I'm really off the beam. So I'm not off the beam. I'm just getting on one too. I said, this is Communion Sunday. Why, here are the Hughes with his holy sacrament. And here is the, like a chalice. All I could think of was a tremendous chalice that God had held like a blood. And tipped it over like that. Come, you can see the chalice is empty and the blood is running down through. You get it here, don't you? There it is. It was spilled and poured and poured out the light. And here were these gleaming rocks and so I said, there's your bread and your wine. I said, this is a holy communion. This is a holy communion. And so I had a holy communion without any tablecloth. And I enjoyed it. I thanked the Lord. I said, I see him, Lord. But he said, you see, the real beauty, the real wonder of it, is in its harmony and not so much its law of contrast. I said, that's right. Well, when Jesus was walking the earth and meeting the multitudes, he, how you can see him outstanding? Do you get it? Outstanding in the law of contrast with the sinning world, or can you see? Can you see him do that? How many can see him outstanding in contrast to the sinning world and the general public? Not because he had a white dress on, but one with it. His spiritual power and force, which was moving in him and through him, and he, under the power of it, became what? Outstanding, didn't he, among the people. No man spake like him, no man acted like him. Well, why? How do you know that beauty was a law of contrast between that holy man, the Son of God, with a background of broken humanity? And we always love it. We love to see it featured like that. And I said, that's right. Then he turned to me and he said, where do you find another marvelous work in beauty in his life? It's on Calvary. It's on Calvary where he's spilling his blood. And he is manifest as what? A peculiar combination. He is the Son of God, clothed upon with human identity that we spoke of yesterday, being crucified for the salvation of the world. How many of you see a strange mystical harmony between God, the Son, and man? Can you get them? How many know that was all made one through Calvary? How many know the union? That was all made in Calvary. That was a harmonious, strange thing. Could everybody see that harmony? No, the very ones that loved and saw him in the harmony of the law of contrast, a man doing the unusual, speaking the unusual in a contrast. How many ever saw the law of harmony on Calvary? God uniting himself with flesh, perishing, dying to redeem it. How many get that? I know somebody who saw that law, God the Father, and he was pleased with it. The angels in heaven saw a harmony, most magnificent harmony in that Son when he's on Calvary. Separated from the life that he had leading up to it. Am I getting? How many are following me? Mm-hmm. Do you get me? Mm-hmm. Well, that's mystical, isn't it? It's trained, but that's where I am. I didn't try to see anything. Yeah, I see it, that's all. And then I can see. I don't try to see, I just see. I could see, that's all. I was in the presence of it. And I said, oh, what a wonderful, harmonious thing. A harmony of contrast. 3 weeks ago, when he was walking the earth, but a most tragic and dynamic harmony when he hangs on Calvary, and a harmony in which God is able to trace, and a harmony that the prophets long to see. to see that harmony. We saw the lovely Jesus walking. Well, that was on my heart. Then I always get tied up with things that I can't handle. So that stayed in my heart all day. We went home. Of course, I'm chattering on the surface of things and ate the supper and everything. But my heart was there. Lord, I've seen something. Next day, I had to go down to Hartford, Connecticut, and speak at a ministerials association. How many of these everlasting associations? I've never heard of the programs of the association. How many of I died 17 dead? I can't take up with them at all because I'm not made that way. I never attend conventions and funny things like that. They kill me. I can't do it. I just can't. That's all. You want to kill me? Take me to one. I can't take it. It takes me all the grace because half the people there, I can't be near them. I have been to some of them, and when I feel the vibration of a certain spirit of a man like coming, this is horrible. But I had to walk down an opposite aisle because I didn't want to touch them. And I didn't know him from Adam's off. I've never seen him before. But what did you feel? I felt a strange vibration. Of what? Education. He did nothing about the calmness of the spirit fell. And it was in him. It vibrated right in. And I had walked right down the church aisle like that pleasantly, you know, shaking hands on the door or something. Or something. Now, isn't that a bad confession or is it? How do you know I'm very human? Right, because now other ones didn't. They were just eating bologna with them. That's the biggest time. Hallelujah. Why not, brother? You know. And I said, oh, Lord, I'll perish. Take me out of here. They didn't know anything about that. Not the slightest. So I went to that meeting. And I said, Lord, get me through this. I want to write something. I feel it in my heart. I want to write. And Lord, help me keep this thing in my spirit that you let me feel. I've been in a communion over something. Now, Lord, have me retain that atmosphere. So he did. So then I sat down and I wrote it. The sacrament of the hills. I quote this from the Psalms. The strength of the hills is his also. I have seen beauty. My heart cannot sing. How can I tell in words the sacrament of truth God spreads upon the autumn hills? How strange the silence deep within my breast when I behold this miracle of his grace. The wine is mighty. Drink deeply, my soul, and taste the dregs of beauty that convict. How many know all that scenery is what? The ashes of the beauty that had been up there about 3 weeks ago, hadn't it? Yes. Think of all that beauty that was complimented, everybody knows. How many know it was reduced by the scorching sun and the frost and the scorching sun? How many know it was reduced? He didn't want that glaring marble. He didn't want that. And so I said to my heart, feast upon this wine, my heart. Taste the dregs of beauty. That was beauty. How many know that all that beauty was reduced to just dregs? His glory has departed. Ichabod might be written over. Glory has departed. Taste the dregs of beauty that convict. My heart so long athirst for truth and light. Drink of this wine and know its subtle tang. O hungry eyes within, look and behold the glory and the mystery of truth, eternal and sublime, upon the hills. God's finger traces there in language sure the message of his strength and endless love.
beauty translates it.
And I understand.
A feast is spread. My hungry heart must feed. The broken bread of glory sacrificed. Strong meat for thee, O heart of mine, is here. How can I sing? My heart convicted stands. O beauty, how you challenge me to prayer. Upon my spirit, etch thy image fair. And sing, O heart, this likeness, all divine. Interpret then in life this sacrament of truth, the beauty of the autumn hills.
Do you like that one?
Yes.
How do you like it? How do you feel God is here? How do you know God's all mixed up in there somewhere? How do you know truth's all mixed up in too? Well, then why not have God and enjoy Him and feast with Him wherever He is? I feel like praying, and Blessed Elijah said, "Oh God, open the young man's eyes that he may see." I often say, "Oh Lord, open their eyes that they see the hills of good chariots." Oh, thought there were trees. Oh. How many of the hills are full of chariots? He said, "Open the eyes that can see." You've seen chariots. Only one chariot. God bless you. You're all dismissed. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You are just so wonderful. Thank you for all your kindnesses to me. You've been nice to me and generous to me, and I just thank you and thank you so much. And God will reward you. And when you don't have anything else to do, pray to me.